Welcome to the Andy Staples Show post-game edition. And what's that sound I hear? Oh, it's a glorious, glorious tune. Wait, here we go. Pit. 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 Yes! That's right! The Pittsburgh Panthers took down the Clemson Tigers as Vegas predicted they would, but they never do what they're supposed to do. Max Olsen joins. You thought it was going to be Ari, but no. Ari's getting ready because he lost this bet and he's going to have to prepare himself. But Max,
the people tuning in, they want to hear Ari whine about this. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm here. I'd love to hear that too.
I don't know. They're going to get all of that on Friday. I did some texting with Ari on Saturday and I learned. So for those who didn't listen to Friday's show, the stakes of the bet are this. If Pitt covered, Ari had to take a shot of the liquor of his choice with mustard. I assumed he was going to pick vodka because a vodka and mustard shot actually sounds kind of tasty. Yeah. He claims he's going with tequila, Max.
What? Why?
I guess he just likes tequila, but tequila and mustard do not strike me as something that go together.
I mean, I guess it's all relative, right? I mean, of your options, I don't think any of them sound great. But I wouldn't go tequila personally. No way.
Oh, well, we are going to get to see and hear it. And hopefully it doesn't sound like me eating mayonnaise, which, listen, Pitt was the cause of me eating mayonnaise last year. Mm-hmm. The Pitt NC State game was what caused that horrible, horrible episode for me. And I got to say, Pitt, you totally redeemed yourself. They were dominant. And that last drive was ridiculous. Like, I mean, they shut Clemson down, which you kind of expected. But then it took a while for Pitt to start scoring. Clemson had kind of put the clamps on them early. And you thought, yeah. Oh, no, what's going to happen here? Is Clemson's defense just going to keep them from doing anything? But then Pitt gets the ball with 7 minutes and 56 seconds left and never gives it back.
I don't know. You keep waiting for Clemson to just sort of like go back to normal, you know? Like I know we all want to like, I don't know. You want to be like intelligent about this and be like, oh, come on. Dynasty's not dead. Look at all the recruits they've got. Look at all the good players they've got. They're going to be fine. They'll fine tune this and figure it out. Man, it's getting pretty late in the year for them to figure it out.
I don't think they're going to. I think we just need to accept that this is I'm not even sure it's above average, just an average team. And, you know, they change quarterbacks.
And I don't say that to take anything away from Pitt, because Pitt's awesome, and Kenny Pitt's playing amazing right now.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett is a legitimate Heisman contender. I mean, it feels like he came into our lives, you know, right after Dan Marino left Pitt. And then he beat Miami, and when Miami was undefeated, I think that was...
I think he was right after Nate Peterman, right?
Two Miami coaches ago?
Probably. No, something like that.
It was the year after Peterman left, and Pickett started at the very end of that season. But, they really have looked great. I don't have any explanation for the Western Michigan loss, and nor will I even try. Mm-hmm. But Pitt looks like the best team in the ACC, especially after we saw Miami beat NC State.
Right.
You know, NC State, they always live dangerously in a few games a year. This was one of those. There was a drop third down pass that probably would have changed the outcome of that game. But look, big win for Manny Diaz. You know, he was
for the hundreds of fans who were there, man.
That's right. That's right. There was one guy shirtless, U tattoo. He just looked miserable. Oof. But at least he got a win.
Well, you know, it's like, and we probably are wasting time by just sort of going long on, the continued troubling year of Clemson. Because look how awesome Wake Forest and Pitt are.
That's right.
Well, they deserve the airtime.
Wake Forest and Army, the total, I believe the total on that game was 51. Both teams individually hit the over In a 70-56 game, Wake scored all but one time it touched the ball and then also had a pick six. So they essentially did score the equivalent of every possession.
There was more than 1,200 yards in that game, and none of them from like Patrick Mahomes. You know, like you just don't expect that to break out in a game against a service academy. Amazing.
Well, Army roped into a shootout. Who'd have thunk it? But getting back to Clemson. Okay, here you and I talked about this before the show. It's hard to understand and wrap your brain around Clemson suddenly being out, because they were really good last year. They were still really good last year. Trevor was there. Travis Etienne was there. They've been good, and not just good. They've been excellent for 10 years now.
Yes.
You know, there was a time, like 2013, 2014, they were dealing with a really good Florida State program that they couldn't get over that hump briefly. But they were still really good during that period. And I just don't, I don't know why it all went this way so quickly. It may be the quarterback. I mean, like they did make a change on Saturday. We don't know if that change is permanent, but I do think it's a lot of it's the just lack of blocking. They haven't really been able to find new playmakers after Etienne left and after Amari Rodgers left and after Cornell Powell left. Just some of the things that Amari Rodgers and Cornell Powell just always did right, the receivers don't do in terms of perimeter blocking and that sort of thing. But yeah, they're averaging. And I got to say, Ari called it before the season. He said Clemson's not going to be good this year.
But see, if someone told you straight faced, "Hey Andy, I've come from the future and Clemson is going to have a disappointing 2021 season," you'd probably be like, "Yeah, but they win 10 games, right?"
Yes.
Because you'd look at their schedule and you'd say, and that's what I felt after the Georgia game. It's like, they'll be fine. Look at the schedule. Tell me where the losses are coming from. And I'm not saying they're going to go on some big losing streak after this, but man, like for the level that, because you know, when you say, oh, they've been that great for a decade, but they're recruiting better now than at any time in that decade. The talent level.
Right.
At least, you know, and I'm not doubting the recruiting services or anything. I'm just saying the talent level it's reached an all-time high, you know, at least within the last couple of years here. So, but it's not just one guy being hurt. It's not just Trevor Lawrence. Like it's a lot of stuff there. And, it's hard. I mean, in some ways you'd say like, well, I guess we've seen this with LSU, so you can't really say it's like impossible that these things happen. Right. But, you know, and it's not that dire certainly, but man, I kind of can't believe that they can't just kind of show up and still just kind of beat you with their better players every week.
And that's the problem. They just can't out talent people.
Right.
And I'm looking at this. Okay. So they've got Florida State next week, and that's the game. Remember last year that Clemson traveled to Florida State. They canceled the game day of.
Yes.
And then you've got them going to Louisville. Well, Louisville just beat BC, which had been a pretty solid team until it got trucked by NC State last week. I don't see any automatic wins for Clemson other than UConn and South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. What do you do about the quarterback deal? Do you really think it makes sense to, you know, give Pumichon more chances here, or what? Like, I think everything's not really been opened up until today, you know,
everything's on the table that it has to be, because it's not working. So try everything else. Try whatever you can try, because you have to, like, you can't just give up. You can't just be like, well, I guess we're not going to score this season. Like, keep trying. You have good players. Eventually you may hit upon a combination that works. So I think that's all they can do right now.
And this is the first, I would say, of this whole season, this may be the first week where you kind of like, you know they've got a good quarterback coming in Cade Klubnik. So, like, what is the trajectory of DJ?
Well, I think the thought was that he would go pro after next year and then Klubnik would take over. But now I think you have an open competition. And you also
potentially look at
the transfer portal for somebody else.
Guess. I mean, and I'm not saying he has to leave there or anything either, but like, man, I don't know. This is the first time where it just feels like, and look, you can say, oh, he's only a second year guy. Too much was put on him at the start of the year, all that. you play that great against Notre Dame and everyone expects you to be as good as Trevor, and that's not fair and all that stuff. But man, like after that, the shovel pass pick six, I mean, of all the kind of like probably emotional and mental lows of this season, that's hard to top there.
Well, and he didn't go to Clemson to wait around or to develop into a guy. He was supposed to be ready made. I mean, that level of recruit. Now, that's not fair to him because not everybody's going to be like that. Not everybody is Trevor Lawrence and just walks right in and is great.
Yeah.
But Clemson, to be where they want to be, has got to be at a higher level. So either he has to take another step in the offseason or they have to figure out what they want to do. And you know, maybe it's Klubnik coming in. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know what you do, because the other piece of it is you got to fix the offensive line. And I think Dabo Swinney hasn't come right out and said this, but I think that there's enough going on behind the scenes to know that this program that has not taken transfers in the Dabo Swinney era is probably going to take some transfers.
Sure. And you know, transfers are, they're looking for playing time and they're looking to go win. So, I mean, you would think Clemson, if they want to finally open that door, is going to be a pretty desirable destination.
Yeah. And I don't think you need to flood the zone with be very selective, take just a handful and spot recruit places of need, which offensive line would be a place of need. I mean, defensive line, no, they're going to be fine. They just got to be healthy on the D line. So, receiver, I think they're still probably okay. They need to be a little bit more disciplined there, but I think they got the athletes. So yeah, Will Shipley's going to be a very good back as he grows up. So I think this is fixable. It just isn't fixable right now is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and I put together the all portal team this week on The Athletic, and you look at like the offensive linemen that are starting and playing at a high level. I only had like 15 guys to choose from for those spots. Like it sounds great that you can find plug and play offensive linemen out there, but you know,
there aren't many,
not that many,
but they'd want to go to Clemson.
Oh yeah.
Or Ohio State or Alabama. Those are the places they'd want to go. And that's your advantage there. If you're Clemson, if you decide you're going to take them, you're going to have your choice. We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Max, I know it's a cliche. We always say going into these weekends, and Ari and I laughed about it on Friday's show. We always say with the matchups don't look great, that's when the super weird stuff happens. But it felt like it did, because you had at one point in the early window, you had Kansas shutting out Oklahoma in the first half, going into the half up 10-0 on Oklahoma. You had Navy pushing Cincinnati, I believe, is a 3-point game at halftime, ends up Cincinnati winning by a touchdown. And then, of course, you had Penn State and Illinois, which were destined for nine overtimes. All right.
They weren't destined for the over, but they were destined for that many overtimes.
No, that's right. They went nine overtimes, combined for 38 points total. It used to be if you went over five overtimes, both teams were in the 60s.
Yes. Like, yes.
This is incredible.
This was, this was, I would call it, this was Pumpkin Patch Saturday, you know? This was the I'm here in a college town. I'm in Lincoln, Nebraska, and Nebraska had a bye this week. So, like, the one of the pumpkin patches here was like posting on Facebook, like, please do not come here. We have more people than we've ever had before. The lines are terrible. Like, it's real bad here. And I, you know, I'm guilty of it too. Like, I looked at that 11 a.m. slate and decided to take my 8-month-old over to my mom's house and just, you know, have some good family time, figuring there's
oh, you nothing. Didn't go to the pumpkin there's, patch. That's good.
No, I didn't go to the pumpkin patch. But I was like, you know what? I don't need to be sitting in front of all my TVs. I can go to my mom's house, take my kid over there, have a good time. And of course, I'm sitting there, you know, staring at Kansas, Oklahoma on my phone, just being like, what the hell is going on here? Kansas is back.
Yeah, and then they weren't. And Oklahoma goes off for 35 points in the second half and 320 yards in the second half, and Caleb Williams looks much better. Caleb Williams had a few freshman moments. There was one interception he threw in the first half where if he checks down to the back has no right. one around him for 10 yards in any direction. Like, you just check that down, that's going to gain at least 8 yards, and he might make a move and take it to the house. Instead, you're doing the playground thing where you're pointing to the receiver, go, keep going. He throws a pick. But then you get the end of the game where Caleb Williams hands off to Kennedy Brooks. Kennedy Brooks is about to get stopped. Caleb Williams grabs the ball back from Kennedy Brooks and keeps going. Like, that.
Unreal.
He does things Unreal. Instinctually that nobody else would even think to do. And that's good and bad.
Like, in that millisecond there, how is he able to communicate to Kennedy Brooks, give me the ball? Like, he didn't have that much time.
Give it!
Like, Kennedy Brooks is going backwards on fourth down, and somehow it is clearly communicated to him, give me this football, and I'm going to go get it. Like, I don't know how you do that. Like, because
Kennedy Brooks
incredible.
Is probably like, what the hell are you doing?
You've been doing this a lot longer than I have. Like, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, not on offense.
I'm not either.
You know,
right? I've seen defenders do that. I've not seen offensive players do that. But it was incredible. And look,
did you have any beef with the forward progress there, by the way, or are you cool with letting that happen?
I feel like cool plays should be allowed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the play in the Sugar Bowl with Alabama and Miami, like, that should have been allowed to happen. It's like too cool to be nullified by a penalty.
Where they call down from on high and they say, "No, guys, that one was awesome. Let it go."
Yeah, it's like it's the guy at Buffalo Wild Wings pressing the button.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
You got to let that happen. So I don't know. You knew that Kansas was not going to win that game. You knew that eventually Oklahoma was going to pull away. But what happened does give me more doubts about Oklahoma going forward. And look, they're still undefeated, so they're in as good a position as you can be in right now, especially if you look around the landscape. You know, Alabama, if you look at the final score of the Tennessee game, it looks like a blowout. Alabama got seriously challenged by Tennessee at home. Nobody looks perfect except maybe Georgia, but yeah. Again, we'll see as they play some more. Ohio State looks like they're getting better, but they already lost to Oregon. You know, Oregon tried to give a game away, but I do think we're in a situation where there are no really perfect teams. And like with Oklahoma, yes, there's a chance that somebody gets them in Big 12 play, and I don't know who it's going to be, but that they could just have an awful game, because Caleb Williams, the stuff he does is pretty amazing, but he's going to be a lot better this time next year when he eliminates the keep going. When he eliminates that, because it will, I guarantee you by this time next year, that's all gone. That's not in his game anymore.
For sure.
So
there's the gamble of Caleb Williams to me is one of the most interesting things in all college football this year, because you see the upside is insane. And yet I've kind of been wondering especially going into this week and just looking at the rest of their schedule, you're like, by going with a true freshman who just, again, didn't play high school last year, didn't play that season last year, all this is still like pretty new to him, as much as he's phenomenal. Like, I do wonder, like, is there a part of this where when you go with the young guy, like a month from now, will we be like, oh yeah, well they went 10-2 because they switched to the freshman, you know? And no, I'm not saying
I don't think so. I think they would have gone 10-2 if they stuck with Spencer Rattler. I think there's a chance they end the season 13-0 because they went with the freshman.
Correct. Yes. Oh, 100%. It changes. I think it has changed the path they're on that they made the switch. And he didn't do anything so bad today that they lost to Kansas. But man, they played a real close game with Kansas, and they played a lot of real close games before he took over too.
Right.
And, you know, I certainly think the game we saw on Ames today would I think suggest that Oklahoma State and Iowa State can play pretty damn close games with them too.
Yes. And if you do what you did against Kansas, you will lose to Oklahoma State or Iowa State.
Yeah.
Like you can't do that. So that's absolutely.
And that's on the defense too. I mean, defensively, they've got 100% to clean it up. Yeah.
They've got to be better. And, yeah, we need to see the Oklahoma defense that we saw at the end of last season come back. Like that group needs to, and it's a lot. It's mostly the same guys, but we just need to see that some more because they are a little more porous than they should be. Let's talk about that game in State College though, Max, because you know, we've not really seen a game go into a bunch of overtime since they switched the format. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, obviously the most overtimes any game has ever gone into because nobody could score. But what do we think of going to penalty kicks? How do we feel about that?
First of all, you know, you remember well, Andy, the night staying up watching LSU A&M, right?
Oh, yeah.
2018.
Glorious and just exhausting at the same time.
And at the end of it, like Joe Burrow needed an IV before he left the building. Like he was, like everyone was worn out. Coach O had been wearing the Gatorade for more than an hour, I believe, through all those overtimes. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stuff, like that kind of game is part of why we got that rule change, right? To see, okay, that's too extreme. We can't have that happen.
Right. And the effect that would, you know, that game when it happened, it was fine. But if they'd had to play the following week,
right?
How bad would that have been?
Horrible. Yeah, absolutely. So I want to say, first of all, just as A&M did, Illinois, print the cups, okay? Make the souvenir cups, make all the souvenir memorabilia you need for this game, because, you know, first ever nine overtime game. That's an all-timer in a bad way, but it's an all-timer. I think the one thing we saw today, Andy, is... And I don't know. I mean, imagine how stressful that is to a Penn State fan. In each, you know, each overtime, it gets worse and worse and worse. Oh, this feeling of like
brutal.
Literally, our whole season hangs on this solution.
Right.
They came
this up play.
With.
This
right,
play.
This play. The thing about this format is there 22 bodies occupy a lot of space when you're starting there at the what was it 2-3 yard line.
3-yard line.
You really can't do a whole lot offensively in that tiny little space.
It was interesting because Illinois had to start throwing because you weren't going to be able to run in that tight space. And Illinois had thrown, Sikowski went 8 of 19 for 38 yards. Like, he may as well, and I don't, he got hurt, and they kept replaying the injury. Stop. I had to scream at my TV, just stop that. Because he, you know, he goes down to play it with his left arm, and all of his weight goes right down his left arm, and
yeah,
buckled. And it was awful to watch. And I felt so bad for him. But I also wondered, like, does Illinois not have a Wildcat package that would have been better? Because Sikowski's not a great runner anyway. So, like, at least...
That's the crazy thing is we knew they had Isaiah Williams at, you know, who's moved to receiver, and he ends up being the guy who scores it there at the end, right? But like that was in the bag the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, what if he's just going to hand off, because they ran 67 times for 357 yards. So if he's just going to be handing off, why not just have somebody who's a threat to run who can also just hand off?
It was funny watching both of those coaching staffs have to kind of like work through the list of ideas and sort of be like, eventually after like what, 6 or 7 OTs, they're like, we should just run the ball at the middle and maybe we can push our way in because we're real tired of trying to throw it.
That's so anticlimactic. Like,
I know
there was a point where Penn State one of those plays, I think Penn State handed it to Noah Cain and they didn't get it. And it's just like, Oh, okay. Well, that lasted half a second, and now we're going to the other side of the field. Like we're doing this all over again. So, but yeah, Brandon Peters comes in completely cold, ends up throwing the game winning pass. But I think I liked the format though. I couldn't decide as it was going on if I liked it or hated it, but I think I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it was objectively incredibly exciting to watch. But if you were, if like, you know, like I said, if deep in, like, you know, you were a Penn State fan watching that, I could see how that's like pretty horrifying that your season is defined by that moment.
Just miserable.
Yeah.
Just absolutely miserable. But is that not what we want? The moments that give us the ultimate misery and the ultimate pleasure one way or the other? Yeah. Were you riding the razor's edge between misery and ecstasy?
Well, if you score 10 points in regulation against Illinois, then I guess you have to. That's
kind of get what you deserve. Yes, that is the moral of the story. If you score 10 points at home against Illinois in regulation, then this is what happens.
I have to think Yursich at one like when they failed on the Philly special. Like, don't you think a coach when that message, you're just like, damn it, I've got nothing left. Come on.
It was perfect. It was set up perfectly. I think if he'd caught it, he might have gotten tackled, though, because the ball is a little behind him.
It wasn't a great ball.
But I felt so bad for Clifford because he was clearly hurt.
Oh, man. Yeah, and it's for Clifford and Sikowski, like, man, those guys were playing through it.
Well, and I think Brisker had an interception in his hands that would have either ended the game or allowed them to end the game with a score, with an easy score. So
it was fun to watch, dramatic
and action packed. Yeah.
Yeah. If you had no stake in it, it was very fun to watch.
Yeah.
But
yeah, exactly. You know, I feel horrible
for whoever ends up having to lose that.
Oh, but the other game in that noon Eastern window that caught everyone's eye was Cincy and Navy, and Cincy wins the game, but I think they got to score style points, and that doesn't help. Now, maybe we just forget all about this, but I feel like they got to be just destroying people in that league.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, you know, the way that this is all kind of going right now. And by the way, I guess I should ask you, coming out of this week, is it clear that it's going to be Georgia, Ohio State at the end, or is that too boring and it's just going to be crazy and there's going to be all these teams in the Final Four that you never would expect?
It's not clear. We can say that now, but it's October. Yeah. Weird stuff happens in November. I don't think anything's clear.
There's still a lot more weird stuff that's going to happen. I don't think that, like, it's really unfair to Cincinnati because, like, nobody else needs style points this year. Like, we're just going into survive and advance mode.
Everybody else is here. Listen, Oregon can win by one because it's got the win against Ohio State. Oregon can win by every game by one the rest of the way and make the playoff.
Exactly. Nobody else, like, there's, you know, if Oklahoma wins out, there's not going to be any, I don't feel great. Like, no, they're in, you know, and same with Oregon. No matter how messy it might get for them.
How about Wake? What if Wake's undefeated? Undefeated ACC champion Wake gets in, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. I would think so because there's just going to be enough. Like, we've already had so many top 25 losses to this point that, yeah, you're getting in over teams that have one or two losses, I think. I mean, I don't think that's, you know, impossible. But my point is, nobody really needs style points except Cincinnati, and so there's like this expectation that they have to just not only go 13-0, but just kill people, and and you expected. I think they're a 28-point favorite today, so you expected that today. Didn't happen.
I think they're allowed a clunker or two.
Yeah, but they should be.
Then just, you know, blowtorch everybody else. So let's give them their clunker here. And speaking of clunkers.
By the way, the Indiana team they played isn't the same Indiana team we saw tonight. So let's not really do that whole, well, you know, Ohio State played them a lot better than Cincinnati did.
Yeah, we don't need to. And with Ohio State, they're fine. You know, It's very interesting because the Big Ten looked so wide open just a few weeks ago, and now everybody's just sort of moving back into the usual mode of, oh, well, it's going to be Ohio State at the end. And we don't know that yet. I mean, we've got Michigan State next week. That should be a lot of fun. We'll see. But Ohio State certainly looks to be rounding into form. Now, I said, Speaking of clunkers, let's go out west. Oregon essentially played the Stanford game again at UCLA, where they go down, they come back, they take control, and then they try to give it away. But the good news for the Ducks on Saturday, they did not complete the act of giving the game away.
They did not. And man, do you think if DTR doesn't get hurt, you think they finish it?
I think Oregon was going to survive by the skin of its teeth. But boy, they tried to give that one away. They tried to lose so hard at the end.
They did. But when Garbers comes in and starts slinging it around, you're like, oh boy, this game is getting nuttier.
He threw one that I think his receiver had no idea was in his hands.
Yeah.
Like the ball just was like a heat-seeking missile that snuck through past the DB and into his hands. And then Garbers throws a terrible interception there right at the end. But what do you expect? He came off the bench cold and what are you going to do? But Oregon's an interesting one because this was one of the big games. My biggest issue with Oregon is they play big in the big games and really play down to their opponents their opponents are worse.
Yeah.
So what happens going forward? You know, their two biggest games left are probably Utah and Oregon State. I got to say, if you saw Oregon State whip up on Utah, like I said, they didn't whip up on them. They came back and then pulled away there at the end. But Oregon State is really good. Oregon State beat Oregon last year, too.
Like, they did.
That could be the game of the year in the Pac-12.
You know, I think the one in a game that could have gone either way, I think you have to mention, like, man, what if we'd been able to see six full games of Kayvon Thibodeau this year?
Oh my gosh.
He would be on his way to New York, I think, the way he's playing right now. And the way he played today to have four and a half TFLs against them. Yeah, he still could be. It's just a bummer that he kind of lost September because the impact he made today was really incredible.
Travis Dye's stat line was unbelievable there for a minute where he had, what did he have, 8 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns?
Yeah. Yeah,
he caught a pass right after that and gained a bunch of yards on that. So his all purpose yards were much better.
It's a fun team, and that was a wild game that you did feel like was over, and then it was very quickly not over.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you worry when you look at their schedule? Do you think that you kind of just maintain that perception that there's going to be one of these games that you're worried they're going to blow it when they shouldn't?
I would worry about them in every game, every single one, until they prove they can dominate the way that the talent level on the roster suggests they should. I would worry about every single one because they really should be like, they should have beaten UCLA by more. That what the score was before the Anthony Brown pick. Well, really, I mean, they should have won that game by 3 touchdowns, I think would have been 34-17 when it was 14-0 and then it was 34-17. Like 34-17 would have been a good place to end it, probably what it should have been at the end. But yeah, I don't trust them against anyone. That said, I think they should beat everyone that they play. They should beat every single team left on their schedule. But if you've watched them, How confident can you possibly be that would happen?
Yeah, that Anthony Brown pick was one of those where you're just like, oof.
Oh,
that's,
it was so bad.
Yeah, and he can be like, he had his moments too. He had. He didn't have a horrible day.
The Cal game, but was, man, the same thing. He had a terrible start, and he was lights out in the fourth quarter. Like, he was perfect in the fourth quarter of the Cal game. It's so hard. I feel bad. You mentioned, you know, how bad it is to be a Penn State fan in that moment. Imagine being an Oregon fan at any moment. Like, the piano is about to fall on your head. The playoffs are gone, like, every second of every game. And then maybe they pull it out.
There has to be just a lot of screaming at your TV, like, you're better than this. Stop it. Stop it.
You're better than this. Absolutely. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
By the way, so not to freak out too much, but like, where's your concern level? Your reasonable concern level on Alabama at this point? Or do we want to just say, hey, great job, Tennessee, like, excited for that, you know, them to get that thing rolling?
Oh, I'm very excited about what Tennessee has in store for the future, because I think Josh Heupel has done a fabulous job.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about what he inherited, the situation he walked into, and the way they play for him, I mean, it's pretty amazing to see. But with Alabama, they're not, and we said this, it wasn't going out on a limb prediction. They were amazing last year. They had so much talent that they lost from that team. You knew they were going to take a step back. Now, there was a 3rd-and-15 play when it was 24-17, or maybe it was 31-24. I think it was 31-24. 3rd-and-15 play, and Bryce Young drops back and just throws a dime right over the middle. And I think it was to Mechie. If I'm mistaking that, I'm sorry. But that's when you're like, okay, this is Alabama. And then Robinson takes it in right after that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, this is Alabama.
I think it might
this is them flexing. Yeah. They can do this. But it's been a few weeks since I've thought Alabama-Georgia was going to be a toss-up game. I think Georgia's going to win that game if they play in the SEC championship.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. This Bama team I find interesting because, like, and I was in College Station for that game, so maybe my opinion of them is after seeing them sort of play down to A&M like they did that night a little bit.
I saw them in person in Gainesville, so we're sort of in the same boat.
To me, we haven't talked about this. To me, they just kind of feel like they're just one of those teams that's like a year away. You know, like that. Just the studs are young. And
they'll be terrifying next year.
Yeah, terrifying. That's kind of how I feel. I'm not saying that they don't have guys that are going to be good draft guys this year, but like, man, I don't, and I think like we all want to say Bryce Young is going to be a Heisman guy this year because we see how good he can be. But like, I don't think he's the best player in the country right now. He probably will be next year or the year after that. But I think
there's not an obvious quarterback who's the best player in the country right now. And that's the thing. No. The best player in the country is a defensive tackle, and his name is Jordan Davis.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we're seeing it with Bryce Young where when he has these flashes and these moments where you're like, oh yeah, he's going to be the best player in the country. But I just don't think it's there yet. And so maybe that's next year they're a steamroller. And that's okay. It's okay if every once in a while Alabama has a ton of guys go pro and then the next group is very good, but not at that same level. But the SEC title game, like, I don't know. I guess we have to wait till Georgia shows us something bad.
Yeah. And we might, I mean, look, they play Florida next week. They'll be challenged in that game. Florida will put all of its eggs in that basket mentally. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only game left on their schedule that means that something matters to those guys. Yeah, right. So I think we will see Georgia, you know, get challenged somewhat. And then if they don't, well, we may not see Georgia get challenged until Atlanta. But it is an interesting year in the, because you think about the SEC and like Texas A&M, and I realize it was South Carolina, but Texas A&M seems to have completely rounded into form. Like, what happens if Auburn wins the Iron Bowl? Like, that would put Texas A&M in Atlanta. Like, if they keep winning, we don't know they're going to beat Ole Miss. But what about Ole Miss? What if Ole Miss doesn't lose?
We got Ole Miss Auburn next week too.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a game. I think Ole Miss wins it, but I don't know. Ole Miss looked really good against LSU.
Yeah, yeah. That, by the way, let's see where it ended up here. Did you see the yardage margin on? Oh, okay, it ended up a little bit more respectable. 477 to 185 for A&M.
South Carolina got some garbage.
They definitely got some garbage at the end there. Yeah, yeah. A&M is they did whatever they wanted to tonight. They're getting better too. Yeah, it's going to be. You're right. If Bama loses one more here, then what happens?
Well, but that assumes that one of the that A&M or Ole Miss keeps winning, because, like correct. You mentioned, Auburn, Texas A&M 2 weeks from now, Texas A&M, Ole Miss the following week, Auburn, Ole Miss upcoming as well. We don't know who's going to have how many losses or that. We could have one of those weird like ACC Coastal situations in the SEC West. Who knows?
That would be kind of awesome. Yeah.
I think it's probably Alabama.
Probably Alabama. Yeah. That and then the who's seventh in that division is still a fascinating question to me, you know?
Very much up in the air. One team that is in the hunt for seven in that division, though they do have a win in College Station, is Mississippi State. There was nothing interesting about the Mississippi State Vanderbilt game. But our friend Alyssa Lang did ask Mike Leach about Halloween candy after the game, and I think this really does bear discussion. So let's take a listen here, Max.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween
candy
game?
Corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn. when I was a kid, well, gummy bears. Let's see, gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
With the gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love it. Hopefully you'll get some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
That is Mike Leach. Okay, a couple things. I also hate candy corn.
That's how
I
the Vanderbilt game went, by the way, folks. That's yeah. What we had time for at the end there.
It was terrible. But I also hate candy corn. It's terrible. It's the worst candy in the world, and no one should ever eat it.
I usually buy one little small bag a year and kind of like it, and then it just makes my teeth sad, you know?
Yeah. It just makes me sad to look at it, to smell it. There's so many better uses for your empty calories than that garbage.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So I like the Haribo gummy bears as Mike Leach. You know, he's a fan, but I'm a Black Forest guy. That's my favorite. So I'll take the Haribo ones, but I want Black Forest if I have the choice. The Nerds clusters I had never heard of. I don't know how I have a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old. How do I not know these exist?
Is it like Nerds rope?
It is gummy candy. Gummy candy with Nerds embedded in it.
Oh, okay. I'm into that. Yeah.
So somebody takes a ball of gummy and then pokes some Nerds into it.
That's innovative. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I also, at one point this summer at a gas station, I bought a bag of the Albanese.
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears. Those are nice.
Those fancy gummy bears. Oh, yeah. Well, those are rich people gummy bears.
Is that the case? I don't know what the food chain of gummy bears is.
They cost like 59 cents more than the Audibo or the Black Forest.
Well, they've got a lot of flavors going on in those bags. Yeah,
although
pretty good.
Listen, I will buy the Racetrack brand gummy bears, the Pilot brand gummy bears, the Bucky's brand gummy bears. They're all just fine.
I agree with you on that. What he said, Almond Joy at the end there, right? Where do you what's the chocolate one for you next week?
My wife loves Almond Joy. I'm a fun size Snickers guy on Halloween. Mm-hmm. I love Snickers bars. Fun size Snickers. Also, if you have the Hershey's miniatures, my kids hate these. I love them, so it works out perfectly. I'll take all your special darks.
Okay. Yeah. I like the I tend to like the crackles and the good bars in that bag, so we could split one.
I like those too, but that's my kids like both of those, so they're probably just going to eat those. So the special darks they won't eat, and I'll get all of them. It's a great relationship.
I'm with you on Snickers though. That's kind of you get everything in the bite there.
It's the perfect candy bar. It's just perfect. It's just everything you ever could possibly want. Chocolate, nougat, peanuts, caramel, everything.
Fun size. It's like everything figure out the bagel costume situation. In a candy bar. That's true. It's true. Mm. Did you figure out the costume situation? You
yes,
want to reveal
think,
it here.
I think I have. I do not. I did. We kicked around a few things. My wife is going to be a devil. My daughter's going to be a half angel, half devil. So there was a thought that I would be an angel. Uh-huh. But I just don't think that's funny. So I'm not going to do that. Uh-huh. I have an idea. We'll see if I can pull it off. You'll find out probably on Twitter on Halloween if it works.
You've got a good track record on this. I look forward to it. Yeah, we're still trying to hunt down something for the eight-month-old.
I will never top Cousin Eddie. That's...
No, no.
The eight-month-old, you just, you know... The beauty of this is this is going to be one of your few chances to just choose what the baby's going to look like, mm-hmm. what the costume will be. Because then when they get older, they start to get ideas about what the costume should be. And it's going to be, sometimes they're all over the map. Like my son wanted to have an inflatable costume this year. One of those with the fans that inflates it. And so we got
like
in this
which,
awesome
like which,
thing.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, what's this one look like?
Well, so you know at the used car lot, the things that just wave around
yeah.
like that? The
Yeah,
okay, course. One of those. You zip yourself into it, you turn the fans on, and you just billow around. It's awesome.
Like, so it's like your head is just a circle with, you know, poking out of it, or what?
It's just inside it, yeah. It's above, like the air goes above your head. It is incredible.
That's wonderful.
But... his buddy got this LED mask, and basically what you do is you wear like a black hoodie and you wear this LED mask, and it does all, it has a bunch of different stuff preloaded. It's got like the Guy Fawkes face. It's got all kinds of different things. But if you download a JPEG of somebody's face off the internet, you can put it on there. So like
oh, no.
his buddy sends him a text of him with Russell Wilson's face on the mask. And my son's like, I gotta have that.
Oh boy.
And so We made a last minute switch.
That's pretty next level.
Basically, we check with Amazon. Can we send the other one back? Can we still get a refund? Because if he couldn't get a refund, he wasn't getting the other one. But
so
we
is
got
he just going to
one.
Cycle through a series of different faces throughout the night?
Yes, he is. That's exactly what he's going to do.
Okay.
And well, and then I have a feeling. Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to, because that's the thing. The other thing. He'd never use again. This thing, he's going to use a lot. I have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be good. I Halloween on a game day last year was a little rough.
Yeah.
That was the Texas-Oklahoma State game, the Florida-Georgia game. I was not a fan. I'm ready for a full day of college football and then Halloween. Let the NFL reporters deal with trick-or-treating and watching games at the same time.
Yeah, that did. That's a good memory by you of which games that was. I remember I did not. Well, I didn't have a kid that last year, so you know, was it's different this
well,
time.
Well, I was handing out candy. I had to bring one of my TVs out onto the front porch so I could, because Texas Oklahoma State was really tight when massive
went to overtime
came. Yeah. Yeah, so I was watching that and handing out candy at the same time. So it was a little. Florida Georgia was not. Florida Georgia was a blowout at that point. And so that nobody in my neck of the woods was particularly worried about football anymore. Like they're like, oh, they beat. And then so they're happy and they're drunk and everybody's, you know, ready to party. So my guess is they're not going to feel that way this year. They're going to be slightly more aggravated. They've been very aggravated all week here in Gainesville.
Yeah. How's that going?
It is it's interesting. The level of optimism that the season began with has drained completely. And now it's people looking for any sort of upward trajectory for Dan Mullen. The fan base is pretty much checked out on him completely.
Wow.
And it's going to be an interesting week. So I'm going to have
they're kind of in that, and honestly we're kind of hitting that point in the college football season too, because there was a few teams that lost today where you sort of felt like, ooh, that was important. Yep. We're in finger pointing mode here a bit, aren't we?
Oh yeah. So with Florida, I think as long as Anthony Richardson trots out as the starting quarterback for Florida, the fan base is willing to accept whatever happens. Like, they can live with that, and they can say, okay, no, Dan Mullen isn't the greatest recruiter in the world, but people are going to get to see how good Anthony Richardson is through the end of the season.
Let him be transcendent for the rest of November.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Maybe they do some good work in the portal and get some guys that can play around him, and that gives you hope for next season. That's, I think, what they're shooting for. To your point, I think they're done in Blacksburg. I think they're out on Justin Fuente after that Syracuse loss.
Yeah, that one was, by the way, I was looking at the stats on that. Garrett Schrader, I didn't catch this game. Schrader ran for like 175 on them. Like, what happened today?
Yes. Well, I mean, Schrader's run on a lot of teams this year.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's that's had how a nice they year. Beat Liberty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not
and I
like,
saw the ball he threw to win the game. I mean, that was weirdly easy for final minute of a game.
Yeah, it's not like Syracuse hasn't been competitive. I mean, they took Wake Forest to overtime. They should probably should have won that game. Sure. So, but the thing is, if you're Virginia Tech, you can't get dominated by Pitt and then lose to Syracuse both games at home. I mean, that's pretty bad. And so Fuente, it felt like, was almost going to get fired last year. I don't see any hope. There's not really a game left on the schedule where if they win it, you're like, oh, no, I'm confident in him.
No, not to mention they have to find a way to win three of the last five now to go to a bowl game.
To go to a bowl game. And by the way, Virginia's looking really good. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's not
I mean, good. The only easy one left is Duke, I suppose, but it's kind of coin flip games the rest of the way for them at best.
Yeah. And so that is a job that I think a lot of coaches look at and say, that is a place I would want to be. Because there are really good players nearby. There's a history of being very good. Frank Beamer set it all in motion and got it going. And, you know, I think it's repeatable. Justin Fuente was really good his first couple years there. I think the right person could do really well there.
Yeah, I agree. And it's hard. That's one of those, Andy, when you go back to day one, you're like, yeah, people probably graded that one really high because – That made a lot of sense at the time in terms of transitioning.
Oh, and he comes in and wins the Coastal the first year. They played a nice game against Clemson in the ACC championship. That quarterback left after a year, which was wild. Went pro, didn't get drafted. And I think that it's sort of, I don't know if that started in any sort of unraveling, but Fuente, we're just talking about Dan Mullen. Fuente and Mullen, different levels of program, but
right.
Same deal where they don't recruit to the level that you're supposed to at that place.
Yeah. And I don't know where it's kind of gone wrong for them. But it has felt like, you know, he's been given a few extra years here to kind of try to build it back up and get it right. And yeah, with three losses in a row now, it's hard to, I can see why people are, and four out of the last five now, I can see why people are running out of patience.
So Manny Diaz wins. That's very helpful to him. I don't know that he's completely safe, but that win certainly helps him a lot. Mm-hmm. How about Matt Wells?
That was a bad one. Yeah. That was a very winnable game against
Texas
K-State
Tech is
today.
Killing K-State, and K-State, which was 0 for the Big 12 coming in, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. K-State comes back and wins at 25-24. It's not looking great for Matt Wells.
Which is weird because you go into the day.
Because they're 5-3.
They're five and two. They had a chance to be 6-2. Yeah. You'd say, oh, well, how bad of a season is it if you lock up bowl eligibility by the end of October? But you look at the rest of the way here, they've got Oklahoma, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Baylor. That's the worst possible schedule you could have the rest of the way here.
Yeah, that's the thing. They got to 5-3 because of a function of the schedule. And
as you said, I mean, talk about it. That's a fan base. I'm not saying that the vocal group on Twitter represents everybody, obviously, but yeah, that's certainly a fan base that seems pretty close to fed up here.
Staying in the Big 12, TCU loses to West Virginia. Neil Brown, a 3-0 against Gary Patterson.
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Well, it's not that weird given how TCU's been for 3.5 seasons now.
That's true. And now you take away the ability to win against Texas, which I don't know if it's gone permanently, but Sark's team won this year. So it does feel like
they're now 21-21 since they played for the Big 12. You know, in 2017 had a great year, played for a Big 12 title, finishing the top 10 there after winning the Alamo Bowl. 21-21 since then, 13-18 against conference.
He's tried to make changes offensively. He's gone back to he's gone kind of full circle offensively. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I don't know where you go from there. No, they're never going to fire Gary Patterson at TCU. It would just be him deciding he's done. But do you think he comes to that conclusion at some point?
He has been extra feisty this year.
He has.
Like on a pretty weekly basis, it seems like. So I don't know how humbling this season has been so far. Again, you're talking about another situation there where you start the finger pointing kind of starts and you know, you can say, oh yeah, they've had all these injuries on defense and stuff, but I mean, this is going to be 4 straight mediocre seasons. I mean, that's where this is heading. And, you know, Andy, when Texas and Oklahoma move on, isn't that the best job in the Big 12?
That or Oklahoma State.
Yeah. I mean, opportunity wise,
or UCF. Maybe UCF. Yeah, I mean,
it could be.
Or Cincinnati.
But
Cincinnati probably because everybody's won there, and UCF's kind of the same deal. Multiple coaches have won there. But yeah, I mean, it's a great job. It's in Fort Worth. It's a place with a proven track record. I mean, all because of Gary Patterson. So that's what makes this hard to discuss.
You can't sell the opportunity short here. I know that they were, you know, a G5 program up until a decade ago, but I mean, I think this job has, you know, much greater potential than we've seen over these last 4 years. And part of that is Gary Patterson has shown that by quickly becoming successful in the Big 12. But you look at it now, and this is their 10th season in the conference. They've had 3 great years. That's it. So, you know, I think it's not trying to be, you know, harsh or anything. It's just I think this is another frustrating moment. And there have been quite a few for TCU now, but they lose by 12 today? Like it was really not incredibly close against West Virginia, and West Virginia has been struggling. So once again, TCU is looking at the schedule, trying to figure out how they get to 6. And, you know, you can say a lot of changes need to be made there. It's a good question. You don't fire the guy at the statue.
The pressure is cranked up. You don't fire him.
No, for sure. But I think you would think the pressure is cranking up here a little bit more of just like, man, we got to figure this out.
Well, when you and Sam Kahn and Jason Kersey get together for One True Pod, you will have a lot to talk about for sure.
Yes. That's Thursdays on this fine podcast feed.
It is Thursdays on this fine podcast feed, and you can hear David Ubbin and I on SEC and Grits, or on Football and Grits, excuse me. Football and Grits. Please don't sue us, SEC. But it is our SEC focused podcast on Monday. We dropped it on Sunday last week because Ed Orgeron got fired and we did the blinking flashing lights emergency podcast thing. But normally that comes out on Mondays. Tuesdays, Nicole Auerbach and Mike Felder with Power Hour. Wednesday, it's me interviewing somebody. Thursday, One True Pod. Friday, Ari is drinking tequila and mustard because Pitt is too legit to pit. That's right. Pitt. 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 Oh, yeah. And before all of that, I know a lot of you watch the NFL as well, and you're gonna fry up some eggs, make a nice omelet as you listen to this show, and then you're gonna go about your day into the NFL schedule. You're gonna watch football all day on Sunday. The best way to recap your NFL Sunday is with the Athletic Football Show with Robert Mays. If you like what we do for college football here on this show, you will love what Robert does after the NFL games, breaking them all down. It's, listen, it's a wonderful audio experience, Max Olson. Chock full. We give you everything. We just guide you through the week with the sounds of our voices.
Oh, and let's see some breakfast picks too. Yeah.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. Because you know Max hasn't done the Saturday show in a while, so he needs some ideas. Because Max will send me some photos of the stuff he makes. Max is very good in the kitchen. So any tips you can give either one of us, we are down for. So Max, thank you so much. Thanks for staying up. Houston won. Score a touchdown in OT. Force a fumble. Recover a fumble. Game over. There you go. Houston wins. Congratulations to the Cougars. Talk to you later.